Deuteronomy 15, 10, and 11. Give generously to him and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I've commanded you to be open-handed towards the brothers, your brothers, and towards the poor and needy in your land. We've taken up the offering. May the Lord bless it. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, which art in heaven, we ask that you keep our hearts open to those that are in need. Father, if there's ways that we can help, please show us and open those doors, we ask. In your name, amen.
You have all survived the new pastor thing. I'm going to do what I'm going to call one more introductory sermon, okay? That's what we'll do, one more. After this, I'm fully and firmly established as your pastor, okay? It'll be like I've always been here. I'm always going to be here. I might not know your name yet. I'm still working on that, which became very clear to me today in church. We're going to keep working on that. But one more introductory sermon. I have tried to share some things about me, things that are important to me, things that I think are important to church as we move forward together, as I've tried to get to know you. And we're going to do that one more time today in a message that I'm calling core values. And I'll explain that a little bit more as we go. In 2 weeks' time, I'm going to preach for 3 weeks in a row. I haven't preached for 2 weeks in a row here yet, and it's bugging me a little bit because I do a lot of leadership and a lot of shepherding through preaching. The worship service is important to how I shepherd and how I do church. So in a couple of weeks, we'll do 3 weeks in a row, but that will just be growing together, learning to understand God more, understanding each other, how community works, how church can work, how it can be relevant and beneficial and real. But we'll start that in a couple. One more introductory sermon. Before I do that, I'm just going to do a few announcements. I won't do this all the time, I promise. There's a few things coming up that I just want to tell you about a little bit. So the first one is, I was hoping to let you have the website yesterday, and it didn't quite work. I was away this week, and I was going to use that time to get the website ready, and it didn't quite work. But this is mostly what it's going to look like. It's all up there. It's just not all quite connected to the right places yet. It's going to be a living document. That's the wonderful thing about a website. It doesn't have to be finished ever. It just carries on developing as we go. A huge thank you to Jathan and Beth, who are both going to be helping me update this and keep it running fresh. So they are two great people that have been keeping the flow of the community. No, you are. Don't worry. I can see Beth going, oh, I don't think so. But these are two people that have helped keep the information flowing for a long time now, and that same information flow needs to happen and keep happening there. So I'm hoping that if you're subscribed to my email, which if you're not, it's time to be. These last 2 weeks, I've had more people sign up for this newsletter from my old church than I have from this church, which is kind of flattering in a way. Those that know me best are signing up for it. So if you don't know me that well yet, you're gonna. So, you know, sign up for that and be part of that. And if you're not sure how to do that yet, well, when the website's up, you'll be able to do that from there. So we'll get going on some things there. So that should be coming out this Friday. The gods of the internet willing. You know, I hope that's not blasphemous. It's just things don't always work like you want them to work when you start dealing with electronics. It's just the way it seems to be. And then this Friday coming up, I'm starting work this Friday. And that is, I want to meet with all the people who teach around here. Now, when I started in my first sermon, I talked about the order of things. And we'll be talking about that a little bit again today. How we make disciples, baptize, and teach. We often start there, and I don't think we should start there, even though I'm starting there on Friday. But if you teach here anything or anyone, or you want to teach, you don't have to be in charge of a class or anything, but you are a teacher in some form or another, I really want to meet with you. because I want us to be a team. I'm not going to tell you what to teach. Adventists are kind of uncomfortable with that because we like to go to the Word. We like to go to the source, and you know, we like it to come up that way. We have accountability. I'm not dismissing that. But so I'm not going to tell you what to teach, but I want to make sure that we keep the main thing the main thing, and that I show you how I see a church working from the smallest child up to all the adult Sabbath schools and around and everything. And you feel free to disagree with me when you come. I don't think it's going to be that contentious, however. But I just want to spend some time together Friday night at 7 o'clock. So even if you don't teach, you just want to come, you're very welcome. But if you teach, I really, really hope that you will be there. And then on Monday, I have my second board meeting with you guys. I had to skip last week because I was away, so we'll do it this Monday. Everyone's welcome to board meeting. There are no secrets there. Your church has elected certain people to come to all the meetings and be well-informed and make the decisions as we go along. But everyone's welcome to come. But if you're on the board, we need you to vote. We need you to be there. So I hope you can come at 7 o'clock on Monday. And then what I'm calling right now, I don't know what to call this thing. Maybe when we meet the first time, we'll come up with a name. But that's going to start this Friday as well at 6:15. And we're going to start having some Bible time together. And it actually finally starts. We've been talking about this for a long time. So there's a lot going on right here. And I'm looking forward to all of it as we get going, and there will be more as we come. So that will be pretty neat. All right, I want to start off right now with a Bible verse. You probably know this one if you've been around the Bible for a while. This is one of my favorite Bible verses, depending on my mood and what's going on inside of me. But Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death." And that's a bit of a downer to remind ourselves of when we come to church, isn't it? Lots of Christians wear crosses, use crosses, and that reminds us of Jesus. I really wish somewhere along the line that we'd gone from the cross to an empty grave. Because I'm just like a positive kind of person. Because I love life. But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want us to just let that come through us for a while. You know what wages are? Wages are things that you deserve. You've earned it. And when you've earned it, you usually want it, because wages are often quite positive. But a gift is just given. And you all know the limit of your earning potential. If you're younger, you still get to define that, and that's really cool. But most of us in this room, we know what our earning potential is, and there's a cap there. But when it comes to gifts, there is no cap. And that's the beautiful part of the gospel. Let's look at it one more time. We'll change it up a little bit, put it in another translation. When people sin, they earn what sin pays, which is death. But God gives his people a free gift, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you agree with this? Do you like this? Do you value this? Is this it? Good. All right. Because I do too. This kind of drives a lot of what I do in shepherding, in ministry, in my friendships, in my life. This verse is kind of core to you. I love a lot of verses about the second coming because I'm looking forward to heaven. But I like life here and now too. And this drives a lot of that right there. Now, I was born a Seventh-day Adventist. I just came out a Seventh-day Adventist. I was born on a Friday, and I made sure it was all done before the sun went down. I like to think that if I hadn't been born an Adventist, that I would have become one. I don't know if I would have or not. I mean, how could you know? But I have had to make it my own over the years. The church that brought me up, and there were a few of them, but by church, I mean the big picture church. The church that brought me up is a very different church than the church I lead now. Does that make sense? You probably all grew up in a different church. Maybe some of you want to go back to that church. But you can't find it anywhere because it doesn't exist anymore. The building might be there. Some of the programs might be there. But the church that you grew up in is not there anymore. So you guys sitting along the front rows right here, you know, you're going to come back here in 30 years' time and you're going, oh, boy, they do not do church right. They don't do it like they did when I was growing up. So enjoy this right now because you're going to value it. You're going to love it. Some of you are going to end up hating it, and you're the ones who will change it and grow it and make it relevant for 30 years' time. And that's going to be really important, by the way. The church that my daughter is growing up in is very different than the church I grew up in. Let me give you an example. My daughter does not ask me what she should and should not do on the Sabbath. She just doesn't ask me this. She doesn't even see it as important. My daughter, who some of you have met, she's been here a few times now. She's 12 years old. Her questions are not black and white. Her questions are really gray. And my associate pastor in my last place, sometimes we'd be sitting there and she'd come up with something and we'd look at each other and we'd go, we only asked that question like 2 weeks ago. Most of my daughter's questions involve somewhere along the line the great controversy, the battle between good and evil. And for my daughter, and she can correct me because this is why I say it when she's not here, because she's really good at correcting me. But it appears to me that this idea of what you do and don't do on certain days and not other days doesn't really reflect the core issue of the fight between good and evil. They are behavioral things. And the church that I grew up in was very concerned with behaviors. That's not to say one's better than the other, but that's what we were dealing with at the time. And we have figured out that our behavior, no matter how good it was, never saved us. And that is incredibly frustrating. So our church has changed. And some of us who got really good at the behaviors are like, oh, I don't like this change because I'm feeling uncomfortable. But the church is changing. But whether it's a church 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 80 years ago, or now, there are still some of these core values that I hold on to really dearly that kind of like govern a lot of my life, drive a lot of my life. And I want you to know what mine are and why I have them. And I'm going to do it really quickly right now. And if you want to dive into more of those, I'm more than happy to talk about it. One of the reasons that I am a Seventh-day Adventist pastor and not a pastor of another church is because this church pays me. No, that just came to my head. I don't know why. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's messing with me. At least I hope it's the Holy Spirit. Do you ever wonder? Yeah? I just tried to wake you up. That's what we're doing. But I like the fact that my church puts together, within its Christ-centered theology, mind, body, and spirit. We have that built in to our belief system. I was going to say practice, but we don't always practice it. But when we study the Bible, we view the mind, body, and spirit all together. This is why we have a health message. This is why health is important. We actually believe that the better your diet, the more you're going to enjoy and experience with God. It matters what you put into your body. I hate to exercise until I'm done exercising, and then I'm really glad that I did it because I feel better. These are real things. Your spiritual life doesn't stop that from being true. So we can pray to God, please help me follow you more. And one of the ways God answers that is like, live this way, do that. Now, this can become legalism. And in our church, it has over the years. And this hurts and bothers and camouflages some of the beauty that is part of this. But I love that our Christ-centered theology, and I'm putting Christ-centered because that's really important, because there's a lot of New Age religions that have this down. And we often want to mock them and put them to one side, and yet they are speaking truth. How you look after yourself will affect how you live. And we have it as part of a Christ-centered doctrine and theology. And I like that. I really do. And it's more than what you eat and don't eat, okay? Because we've made it fit into nice, tidy boxes over the years. And that's, you know, that's how the world has worked and how we made it all fit together. But it's more than that. It's mind, body, and spirit working together. I used to hang out with a yoga teacher, not to do yoga. Though that can be good if you're that way inclined and that flexible. If you're not, it's just a painful experience. But there's a yoga teacher who came to, I don't know if I've told you this one, I've been here 2 months and I'm already think I'm repeating myself. He came to the clergy group in San Luis Obispo because he believes that yoga is spiritual. And he wasn't finding in the Christian denomination anywhere where that was happening. And he came up to me and says, you know, I love Adventists. If I was going to be a Christian, I'd be an Adventist. I was like, well, cool. I'll dunk you like this Sabbath. You come along. Well, we can make that happen. And he's like, well, will you need my money? Well, not until after you're dunked. And then, you know, we won't talk about it now. He said, I love Adventists because when I used to live in Florida, I used to go to the Adventist hospital just to eat lunch. Because he was a vegetarian. And the best vegetarian food he could find anywhere was at an Adventist hospital in the cafeteria. Hospital food is terrible. Cafeteria food generally is not that great. And yet he came to a hospital cafeteria just to dine. He loved the fact that we were putting diet as part of our relationship with Jesus. It's not just the health message. It drives our state of the dead belief as well. You can't separate this mind, body, and spirit. I mean, we like to, because we as human beings, we try to process things and work things out that fit in nice, neat boxes. But it doesn't work like that. So we see officially, and we may, even in this room, agree or disagree on some of the details. And, you know, I've learned to be very fine and comfortable with that. Because my faith and my experience with God and my love for you is not dependent on what order you put letters together. Does that make sense? We all run deeper than that. So I love our state of the dead. I love the idea that when Jesus comes back, there will be a new body as we meet him. And there's some beautiful scriptures that drive that. And I love that about our faith. It's just something that I like. And I can preach it comfortably and you know, no one's saying, you got to say this. And I go, yeah, but I don't believe that. And that's another thing that I like about Seventh-day Adventists, because we have some really things that we're strict about and stuff, but when it comes down to it, we actually allow ourselves and each other to explore the scriptures. Now, if I come up with some weird stuff, you people will deal with me, all right? Because we have structures for that. We have structures for everything. But we actually love that the scriptures kind of drive us. And we like the Old Testament and the New Testament. Again, is this unity of it, this coming together of the scriptures. We don't have to divide them. We don't even like to divide them. We believe that the Old Testament, and we get this through the sanctuary doctrine and the study of the sanctuary in the Old Testament, reveals Jesus there, the characteristics of Jesus. He didn't just change overnight. This is all part of one big plan, and you don't have to separate it. And I like that. And I haven't even got to the Sabbath part yet, which is why most of us are probably in this room. Because if you want to go to church on the seventh day, you don't have a lot of choices. And you want to meet with other Christians, this is kind of a good bet. So a lot of us have the Sabbath in common because we just love it. Again, we've kind of tried to organize it and chop it up and make it work. And like, this is the value and how it is. And we've gone through eras and times where this is what you do and this is what you don't do. But the Sabbath is so much bigger than that. It is, again, the coming together of a Christ-centered theology that involves the mind, body, and spirit. Sabbath is part of that. And I love these things. I love them. And then, of course, there's service and surrender. And I've got a bunch of them here that this is how I sort of formalize it together. And they just all happen to start with the letter S, which is just very convenient. Didn't work last week when I went into the Spanish service. But it works great in the English language. The Sabbath, the state of the dead, sanctuary, second coming, scriptures, service, surrender. This idea where I serve you. And I serve you not because you believe the right thing or because you happen to be like me, but because God loves me and God loves you. And because I love God, I'm going to love the things that God loves. Is that right? I'll say that again in future weeks just in case you didn't get it. But there's one that's missing from there. Anybody figure out what it is? Give you a clue. It starts with S. Oh, I heard it. Salvation. Exactly. This is my core value. You take that one away, and the rest of them. Well, that's how we get legalistic. Because you have Sabbath without salvation. And it can become a burden. Right? And some of you know how Sabbath can be a burden. How healthy living can be a burden. How serving other people can be a burden. But you put salvation into the core of that. And you have something not just of immense value, but of eternal, limitless value. So these are a lot of my core values. But there's something that I need to share here that I think is really important. Your priorities are more important than your values. Let me explain. There's some things here in this church that I already value. Some of them are overlaps from other churches and other experience. But I value our little kids. Okay? No, you're too big. I'll get there. You're jumping ahead. I'm hungry. Come on, let's keep moving. I value our little... The kids who have not reached what we determine to be the age of consent. Kids who believe anything we tell them. I value those kids because they are unbelievably impressionable. I had one person come to me once. She used to be a Seventh-day Adventist, and she says, I'm not going to tell my daughter anything about God. I want her to discover it all by herself. And her daughter, when she was 12, came to her mother and said, I need to get baptized. And her mother says, well, how did you know about that? I heard about it. And she says, where can I go to get baptized? And her mom says, well, I only really know one church. So the daughter says, well, I like that white church down in the middle of the town. That was a Seventh-day Adventist church. This is a true story. So our children are, whether we want to impression them or not, they are unbelievably impressionable. So our small children are incredibly valuable in this place. Amen? You're getting there. I also value our juniors, where the black and white is turning into the gray. And you are deciding to discover things on your own. You are starting to make decisions for yourself. You are deciding, do I agree with that or not? And this is a new experience. And I value that process a lot. And we need to embrace that process. Too often in church, we have just said, don't think those things. And put we develop in such a way that this is the time to be doing that. And I value that, which is why I'm starting my first group Bible study at that age group. I value that. I also value college students and seniors in high school and juniors in high school who are starting to gain a lot of independence and don't have to do what someone else tells them to do all the time. They actually get to go out and live on their own and decide, okay, I've been taught this, 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 and this, and I agree with this, this, and this, but now this is what I'm going to do. This is an incredibly important time of life. I value our college students. And in a college town, we need to make that important. Right, there you are. Okay, because you've left home and you're here and your parents are probably so happy. All right? But for everyone that's here, there's probably 7 or 8 that are not. It's just how it works. So I want to value that. But valuing all these things, I don't want to not value our senior citizens who are part of our congregation. Because you know why? If our senior citizens hadn't been here those years ago, we wouldn't have this building right here. And this is where I'm coming to you, because I met the Kent Kennys, if I got that right, who was here and part and was on the building, chair of the building committee when this was built. And he just happens to be here today. That's awesome. You know? And if you hadn't been here and you hadn't done that, then these kids that we're dedicating and having Bible studies with and are doing drama and all these things, there wouldn't be a meeting place. There wouldn't be a place for that to happen. We get to do today because of what others did yesterday. That's just a simple fact. So we need to value our senior citizens, those that came before us and gave us what we have. We need to value that. And every now and then, we just need to just give them a standing ovation or praise or something and just say, thank you for your faithfulness in giving us what we have. I value that. I value the Spanish congregation right there. I don't know how to do that yet. I'm still trying to figure that out. But I want them to hang around and to build up a community, because there's a big part of this town that they can reach that me and a lot of you here cannot. I value evangelism. I value discipleship. I value relationships. Can you see what the problem is here? I value everything. So it's not your values that drive you and define you. It is your priorities that drive you and define you. Let me give you a little example. I'm kind of running out of time really quickly. But say, for instance, I value the Sabbath, okay? But I also value your donkey that's fallen in a ditch, all right? Okay, you all have donkeys. That's right, thank you. Some of them have a Ford logo on the front, some of them have a Chevy logo, etc., but, you know, you've got a donkey. But I value the Sabbath and keeping the Sabbath and having it holy and blessed and reverent. I got scriptures for this. But I also have scriptures that I should cross the side of the street in order to help you and help my neighbor. You know, I have this value, I have this value, and I have this value. What happens if in doing this value they intersect somewhere and I have to make a decision as to which value is going to take priority because your donkey fell in a ditch on the Sabbath? And it's going to be one or the other. One has to prioritize over the other. Another one I've heard a little bit about since I've come here. I'm just going to jump and stomp all over toes. I'm not new anymore. Some of you like a quiet sanctuary. You like it. Reverent is the word you use. You value reverence. And we also value people. And we want them to connect to the body of Christ. So we have this value. And we have this value. And you can value both of those things. But there comes a time when they intersect. And we have to prioritize somewhere. And this is where it gets messy. This is how ethics work, by the way. You can pick any ethical debate that's in our country, politics, community. We could do abortion, gay rights. There's a whole bunch of them right there where you value certain standards, certain things. You value life. You value scriptures. You value the, but you also value people and you want to love people. And there comes this time where you realize, I can't do both. And then you have to prioritize. So your priorities become much more significant than your values. What do you prioritize in your life? I value God. I value making a living. I bet most of us in this room haven't had to deal with that on this issue, but some of us have. Where do the priorities come? Which one comes first? That determines who you are. I'm going to skip over the next part because I'm kind of running out of time here. There's other examples of that. That I've talked about already. But my value and my priority in this place is that you get to meet Jesus and be offered the chance to accept the life that he gives you. And the rest can just come out of that. Give me a few minutes here just to tell you one story, because I want to do it, because I want you to feel it as well as know it. When I was 16, 17, I would go to summer camp because I love summer camp. And I went to summer camp in Wales. A lot of you have heard that it rains a lot in England. In England, we say it rains a lot in Wales. And in Wales, they say it rains a lot on the west. So the Adventist Church found the westmost point of Wales, which is beautiful. They must have gone there on a sunny day and go, oh, this is lovely. And they built a camp there. Intense. One building in the middle, which was the chapel, the cafeteria, the social hall, the place you go and sleep if everything else floods out, which, believe, happened on a fairly regular basis. And I used to love going there. And I went there for a bunch of 16 to 20-year-olds. We're all there at camp, coming from all over the place, driving in. It was just wonderful. And I signed up to sail. It was right on the ocean. I love to sail. It's just beautiful. But for the first 7 days, it rained the whole entire time. We didn't get to do anything. It was raining so much, there was an aerobics instructor there, and they let her lead aerobics in the main room, which is movement to music, you know. Whoa, we were all dancing in the hallway is what we were doing. It was that wet. On the eighth day, near the end, the sun came out. And we were all so happy that the sun came out. They put the volleyball net up, and some people played volleyball. But most people went to their tents, got their mattress, and came along the side of a building. Say there's a wall right here. This was a sun trap, you know. You all don't know what a sun trap is. Maybe you do, and you probably avoid it. But in England, we seek them out, where there's no wind and the sun comes in. And it was Adventist camp, so everybody took off as many clothes as they dared or were allowed and put their mattresses out and just sort of soaked up the sun. It was probably like 62 degrees. But it was sunny. And they're just lapping it up. I wasn't playing volleyball. I wasn't sunbathing. And I was with two of my friends, and I just kind of get bored with sunbathing, and the volleyball thing was full. We thought it would be fun or funny to go get a bucket and fill it with water and go up on the flat roof of this building and get everybody wet. You know, they'd seen rain for 7 days, and now they're all lying. They won't suspect a thing. It's too easy. If it's too easy, don't do it. That's just rude. You should at least be working at it. But I found a bucket, filled it up with water, and I went up with two of my friends. We did the rock, paper, scissors thing to decide who was going to have the privilege or the responsibility of holding the bucket. And I won, or lost, depending on your point of view. And I got to hold this bucket. And I started down at one end of the bucket. Are you familiar with the domino effect? I just started pouring and walking down the whole side of the building. And the first person just, wah, next person, wah, next person, wah, all the way down the line. And I'm at the end there, and I just think it's hilarious. And all these people, there's about 60 of them, they are all looking up. It might have been 25, but it felt like 60. And they're all looking up. And suddenly my joy turned to panic because my two friends were gone. I mean, they weren't around anywhere. It was just me. And they're looking up, and they're mad. Oh, they are. They do not see the funny side of this at all. And so I did that little thing that cartoons do where you run on the spot for a while and then hit the ground, and I'm off. Because America's been good to me. I tell you, I grew up a skinny, skinny, skinny kid. If I turned sideways, they'd be like, oh, where'd he go? I thought he was right there. I was so skinny. If they were going to catch me, I was going to get hurt. But I could run. And so I jumped off the side of the building, and I ran up into the field, and I had 60 people following me. Okay, it might have been 25. I'd always wanted to be popular at summer camp, and finally everyone's chasing me. This is great. But they're mad but I can run better than them. And this 25 turns to 10, to 5. There's three people following me. I'm going up around the whole perimeter of the property. I'm down to one person chasing me, the assistant camp director, whose wife had been lying there like this. And he's got a little water pistol. I mean, now you got those great big things. But this little thing. He's following me. And I come back around into the parking lot. I'm weaving between all the cars. And I'm a preacher. I wouldn't make this up. I promise. I always only speak truth. As I rounded the corner, there was a pitcher of water at the tire of a car. And so I'm running along, and I stop. I pick it up, and I turn around, and my chaser just goes one more time like that. And all of a sudden, the chaser becomes a chasee, and I'm following him again now, and I soak him wet with water, too. I'm like, ha-ha, and I think it's brilliant. And he stops, and says, Stephen, I will get you. It may not be today, and it may not be tonight, but I will get you. I didn't sleep that well that night, mostly because my tent mates wouldn't let me inside. Whatever I was getting, they didn't want any part of it. But he didn't get me that night, or the next day, or the next night. In fact, he never got me for the rest of the camp. A couple months later, the Adventist church got together, and they had a vote, and the assistant camp director became the camp director. He was now the youth leader for my conference. And he moved near to where I lived, and one of the first things he did was bring all the youth who live locally, and he says, come over to my house. I go, oh, no. No, I'll just stand over here, I think. But I couldn't really leave it alone because I wanted to go, so I had to go. But I was on my guard the whole entire time. But he didn't get me. I broke my nose that day, but it had nothing to do with him. I was just 15 people trying to sit on a four-seater couch. It's just what happened. A few months later, we're coming up to New Year's, and we're going to have a retreat in Scotland, just above England. It rains a lot in Wales. It's freezing cold in Scotland. And I'm sitting there wanting to go, but I don't have enough money. So the camp director himself calls me up and says, I see you didn't register. I said, I can't afford it. He says, if I gave you a ride there, could you afford the registration? I said, I could do that. He says, I will get you a ride there. But man, this guy is good. I really like this guy. After all I did, that's amazing. So a car pulled up outside of my house. I had all the cool kids in there, a couple years older than me. And they took me up to this retreat. I had a great time. We stayed up all night on New Year's Eve, the whole night. Next day was Friday, and he says, the camp director says, we're going to go out for a walk before the Sabbath comes, and we've got to get some fresh air. So we go to Loch Lomond. You've probably heard of Loch Ness. Loch means lake. Do you know what there is inside of a lake? A lot of water. I didn't really realize this, but it looked pretty. And I walk out along the side. It's a bit drizzly. I had a coat on. Came, walked back, got back into the van that brought us. And we were all gathering around. And the camp director came and says, you know what? Before we leave, let's take a group picture. Oh, this is a great idea. So I grab my camera because I want to take this picture as well. And he looks around and says, let's go out on the dock. There was kind of a dock that went out into the lake that could actually house some pretty big boats. This was not a little lake. This is a big lake. And, you know, you could walk out there probably the full length of this church building, not just this sanctuary. He says, there's an area at the end. Let's stand at the area and we'll have a nice view for the back. Oh, great idea. So we're walking out on the dock. And the camp director's wife comes up to me and she says, why don't you give me your camera and I'll take a picture with you in it? Oh, you're so nice. That'd be great. And so I voluntarily hand over the one thing that's not waterproof and I give it to her. Now, I've always wished I was tall, so when we got there and we all stood together, I went to the back and stood like this because, you know, I'm tall. And I'm there, and the camp director, he comes around, he sets it all up, and he comes and stands next to me. Wow. He has a lot of people. He could have stood or knelt or sat next to anybody. And he came and sat next to, stood next to me. This is really nice. And then he put his arm around me, which is a bit weird. Maybe you do that here all the time, but in England, we're really not comfortable with that. But okay, maybe, you know, maybe I'm special. And then we take a few pictures, and my picture's being taken, and then all of a sudden, he's kind of squeezing, kind of tight. And he takes his arm on the his other arm, and he brings it around in one quick motion before I realize what's happening, and sweeps up under my knees, and he picks me up and holds me like this. And I go, no! And he's strong, too, for an old guy. I mean, he must have been like 30 or something. And I mean, he was strong. And I couldn't wiggle free. And he takes me over to the edge of the dock. And I go, no, 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 no. Because, I mean, this is the 1st of January in Scotland. It is cold in Scotland. It was bitterly cold. And he's holding me over the water. And something's telling me that he's not kidding. And so I appeal to all the other people. Help me. This guy's gone crazy. Help me. And I suddenly realize it's all the same people. They're all lined up. And they're like, throw him in. Throw him in. And suddenly I'm flying. And I go, this guy's crazy. I mean, he's going to be on the news. He's just killed somebody he's responsible for. And I'm flying through the air. And I hit that water. I don't know if you've been in water that's colder than freezing. It can happen. Just because it's freezing doesn't mean it automatically turns to ice. Some water can be colder than freezing and still be liquid. It's like knives jabbing you all over. If you've seen Titanic, that's where I got that from. And it's true. I've lived it. It hurt. I couldn't breathe. I come up for air, and I'm not that great of a swimmer. And I thought he should have checked with me about that before he threw me in. I didn't know what was going to happen. Before I knew it, I've got this arm around me because my angel, and I'm starting to be pulled back to shore. I got no idea who it is. Eventually, it took a long time. We got to that point where you can touch the ground, and I looked around. And you all know who it is, right? It's the camp director. And when I could finally get my breath back, I said, okay, I get why you got me. I mean, I deserve that. When it's been raining for 7 days in a row, and then you use the one time that it's sunny to get everybody wet, you're really asking for trouble. I deserved it. But I said, why did you do something that got you wet as well? Why did you get me back that way? Why did you jump in? Why did you just throw me in at the shore? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, Stephen, and I think this just came off the top of his head, but I've used this so much since then. He said, Stephen, I didn't want you to hate me. And from that day, he's been one of my heroes. Somebody who threw me into the water is my hero. Because he did it with me. I don't know if you see where I'm going with this, and I hope some of you do by now. But my Savior jumped into this earth and lived my life and died my death in order to save me, because he didn't want me to hate him. He wants me to love him. And I do. Because what Jesus has done for me is literally out of this world. So when we gather here, we're going to live. We're going to live full, healthy, beautiful, inspirational lives that take care of and lean on and participate with other people. And I hope and pray that it will be a beautiful experience of sacrifice, of love, of journeying together. And it's all possible because Jesus jumped in with us and made salvation possible. Jesus gave his life for you and for me. It's a well-known hymn. Would you stand and sing this with me? We're going to sing Amazing Grace. The words will be up here or in your hymnal. Let's sing this together. Make it yours this morning if you can.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first. Shining as the sun, we've known less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
I'm so glad I'm here, by the way. I've settled in beautifully and I'm loving it. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to start a series, which you're going to love because I'm not going to try and put the whole series into 1 week. I'm going to actually spread it out for a little while. And next week, Rob is going to be preaching, who I've come to appreciate and seen some of his teachings, so he'll be sharing next week. Let's pray, shall we? Dear God, help us make your Son a priority in our lives. Thank you for all he's done for us. Bless us now as we live for you and serve you. And love you and one another. And bring us back here next Sabbath to worship and fellowship. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.